Kodiak Island, many people are not aware of its size. It's 130 miles long by 50 miles wide, which encompasses slightly over 5,000 square miles, making it larger than the state of Connecticut, also larger than the states of Delaware and Rhode Island combined. So we're talking here about a considerable geographic area. The 19 sites are all remote by any definition. Kodiak being the most accessible, is served by ferry. No other site has any road system connection or ferry service of the 19 locations that would be affected. They're all serviced by one air carrier, Sea Air, and their share of the essential air service subsidy is $488,735. So if we were to lose that $488,000 subsidy, obviously the people who live in these 19 communities would have to make it up. By our estimates, that would mean that the fares that Sea Air would have to charge would quadruple as soon as the subsidy were lost. For the people on the islands, this air service is not just a matter of convenience. It is, both literally and figuratively, sometimes a matter of life and death. It's the only way that they can get into Kodiak where there are, for instance, medical services available. None of these communities even have health clinics, let alone a hospital. So for us, this is no small thing. This essential air service is just that, essential. And I'm sure that the situation is the same in many other parts of Alaska, but given that my district has half of the communities that would be affected, we feel very strongly that this resolution is appropriate. We trust that the committee will act favorably and expeditiously in passing it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Representative Thompson. Representative Davis?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
Any questions?
Yes, I have a question on the subsidy and question about how often the air service is goes out to those communities. But I guess my first question is why is it that Kodiak happens to have half of the subsidy and other areas of the state aren't receiving the subsidy, or I guess some other areas are, but there's obviously a lot of communities that don't receive the subsidy currently. And the second question is just how often do they get air service? Is it once a week, twice a week, five times a week?
According to the agreements of the subsidy, it was laid out in CAB order number 81167, and it sets forth the essential air service levels for eligible communities within the state. They are all serviced at least once a day, Representative Davis, and some of them twice a day. As to how that schedule was developed beyond the parameters of this CAB order, I'm not entirely certain.
I guess that second question goes along with the other question I had as far as why is Kodiak have half of the subsidy brings up reminds me of some of the subsidy that it's subsidy to carry the mail basically is what it is that correct?
Right.
Because in Bristol Bay anyway, some of the people that were subsidized were actually beat by some of the private carriers in delivery of service. And I'm not sure if it was unique to that area, Bristol Bay, but the subsidy didn't prevent other people from competing and actually beating their prices. And I was just curious on where the other areas of the state are that are receiving the subsidy, and just why Kodiak was unique in receiving the lion's share of it.
Madam Chairman, that's a very good question, Representative Davis. There are air carriers, air taxi services, which do serve some of these areas in addition to Sea Air that receives a subsidy. And I would be less than candid if I didn't tell you that in their minds this subsidy is unfair competition. The difference, of course, is that what it costs to get a charter as compared with the regular air service that Sea Air provides is significant. For the closest of these communities, which is Port Lyons, which because of the size of the map, I wasn't able to label all these things for you, but Port Lyons is this community here, which is the closest to Kodiak, and to charter a plane to go to Port Lyons cost $150. To take the Sea Air flight, it cost $23. So the difference in the cost, you know, to the people is significant. And, you know, the only way you get around that is to have more than one person on a charter. If you can fill up the plane with six people, then your costs are significantly less. So we are served by my air taxi services that do compete with Sea Air. And off the top of my head, I guess there are three or four air taxi air charter services which are making a living.
And all the they go to all the different sites? Or?
No, there are no regularly scheduled flights with the air taxi people. They just go as planes are chartered.
But they do go to all the different communities?
Well, if, yeah, they'll go anywhere. I mean, there's bush plane service. You pay, they'll go.
Representative Rue.
Thank you. I have three or four questions for the witness. Number one, what is the population of the 18 sites, not counting Kodiak?
The city of Kodiak is a little under 6,000, Representative Rue, and I think the next largest of these is Old Harbor, which is this site just above Three Saints Bay. Mm-hmm. And Old Harbor is just slightly over 300.
What would you guess would be the population
from
of,
there.
Of the 18 sites?
No, some of these sites, Danger Bay, this area up here, I believe has six people in permanent residence. During the summer months when there's salmon hatchery activity in the area, their population increases. But some of these communities are literally one family.
Would you say that what would be the average population of these sites, 20, 30, 50?
Well, you know, if you average them, it would be a misleading figure. I can give you some off the top of my head. Akiak down here, at the Akiak has about 130 people. Karlik up here has about 90. Larson Bay has 220 or so. Old Harbor has 330. Port Lyons has about just about 300. Yuzinki has about 170. Those are the larger ones.
Could we say that there's less than 2,000 people in these 18 sites?
I'm sorry?
Would you guess there's less than 2,000 people in the 18 sites?
Oh, there are, no, there's, let's see, on the road system, as we tend to say, which extends from Menashka Bay, which I think you can read on that map, from Menashka out to the area that's labeled Kalsen, is the road system in Kodiak, which includes the Coast Guard base. We have about 10,000 people there. But altogether, we have about a little over 13,000. So there's about 3,000 people scattered around in these 19 communities, or 18 communities outside Kodiak.
Okay, the next question is roads. Where do roads go to? Don't they go to Port Lyons?
The road extends from Menashka, just above the circle where the city of Kodiak is, to Kalsen, that's labeled on there.
Kalsen?
Right.
Kalsen. Doesn't it also go to Port Lyons?
Right. The road system runs from Kalsen to Menashka, which is just above that. That's about 52 miles worth of road.
Doesn't go to Port Lyons?
No.
Is there any boat service to these places?
No.
None
there are a very hardy breed of people, and they have their own skiffs, and they do get around in skiffs. But, you know, the water in and around Kodiak Island is treacherous even in the best of times. And, it's a very risky proposition.
Any further questions, Representative
Murray?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Representative
Prince? Yes, Madam Chairman, I'm trying to get a handle on this. The federal budget then has proposed to eliminate the services in 1986. Is that correct, ma'am?
The original plan was 1988. And the president introduced his budget to drop it this year.
I see.
And our resolution is to ask them to continue and adhere to the 1988 schedule.
Okay. I'm reading the commissioner's letter here, and it says that the department has not yet taken a position on the schedule 1988 timetable for elimination of the program. I'd like to refrain from any position for or against 1988 elimination. It goes on to say here, the 38 communities still remaining in a centralized services program are dependent upon federal support to enable them to receive the minimum service considered necessary. It is imperative that the federal program be funded through at least 1988. They seem to be one thing, saying, well, not take a position.
But then I noticed that there's kind of a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Are there any more questions?
I notice in the pamphlet here they mention Appendix A, B, and C, and I note that there's only Appendix A. Let's see, let's find it. Let's read it here. Appendix A was the 230 communities, I would assume, that were used in original determination. Appendix B presented, say, a description of the communities, present service, population, and any appropriate notes, and Appendix C contained the historical services from 76 to 78. The community was pressed for essential answers. I wonder what happened to those appendix. They're not attached here.
I don't really know. Are there any further questions of Mr. Thompson? If not, Mr. Thompson, would you like to resume your seat at the table? And we have another witness, Mr. Stoops, for the air carriers.
Madam Chairman, Bob Jacobson from the board of directors of the carriers is making the presentation this morning.
All right, excuse me. Bob, would you like to join us at the table? Give your name, who you're with, for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Bob Jacobson. I'm Vice President of the Alaska Air Carriers Association. I just wanted to come and speak in behalf of the carrier this morning. Thank you for sponsoring this resolution. We are in support of it. I was back to focus on Mr. Furness's question with regard to the DOT not wanting to take a position. The way I read that, quite possibly it could be they'd like to see it funded beyond 88. I think if they were to say in one line that they'd like to see it funded through 88, that would almost say that they'd be willing to have it stop funded in 1988. And I think the department is the aviation system plan that has been at work since 1981 has been studying subsidies throughout Alaska, and they knew that the deregulation bill passed by Congress in 78 and the final sunset version of it came about the end of 84 set 88 as the cutoff date, and it's quite possible that Alaska may have to pick up the slack where the federal government leaves off at some point in the future. I guess that is the only thing that I really bring to you this morning from the Air Carriers Association. At our conference February 6th through the 10th, we discussed the subsidies dwindling and Reagan's proposed budget to cut it off in October of this year. And although there are about $4.5 million in subsidies in Alaska, less than a million of that go to small carriers. Alaska Airlines received approximately $3.5 million for the five large communities, Petersburg, Wrangell, Gustavus, Cordova, and Yakutat. If those subsidies were to be ended right away, it would really destroy the transportation network in Alaska. And we wholeheartedly support your resolution.
Are there any questions, Mr. Jacobson?
No, just one comment, Madam Chairman. I note here in the memo it says, from the department's perspective, the gradual reduction in federal subsidies have not created a manageable detrimental effect on air services to Alaska's community. This is a weird memo here.
Yeah.
Very confusing. But be that as it may. Oh, Madam Chairman, do we have a schedule anywhere of the amount of money is going to the various air carriers?
Mr. Thompson just gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
Alaska Airlines gets $3,572,778. Sea Air, $488,735. Peninsula Air, $298,335. Chitna Air, $112,986. Ellis Air Taxi. This takes in Chitna McCarthy and May Creek, $56,333. This is the only way those people up there get any mail or anything else. Seward negotiating proposal is $50,000. And that's the breakdown. Representative Murrow?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Is Cook Inlet Aviation and Homer a member of your association?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. We have over 100 members. I just couldn't tell you, Representative Rook. I don't know the list by heart.
I think if you check the list, I think you'll find out if they are. They're the largest air carrier, the largest air taxi, and Homer. Do they receive a subsidy?
According to the list, some Representative Cato just read, I would say no.
There's a list of all the people receiving the subsidy here.
Just for the record, I'd like to state that there are four air taxis in Homer, the largest of which is Cook Inlet Aviation. They serve the following villages by air: Seldovia, which is an incorporated city, Halibut Cove, Bear Cove, Port Graham, English Bay, Port Chatham, Pearl Island, and I don't know how many other communities. And they do it on the open market. They do it without any subsidies, and they do it at reasonable prices because their planes are almost always full. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Monroe. Are there any further questions, Mr. Jacobson? If not, thank you very much for sharing your time with us. Representative Davis?
Is there anyone else to testify on this?
No, we do not have anybody else signed up to testify.
Would you entertain a motion to move this bill?
I certainly would.
I'd so move that we move this bill out with individual recommendation.
Representative Davis has moved that we move the resolution out with the individual recommendations. Is there any objection?
No question, Madam Chairman.
No objection.
I think there was an objection.
We called the question. If there is no objection, so ordered.
I appreciate the information here.
Yes, it's very interesting. Would like to have all of you know that tomorrow morning, Mr. Pearson, the government leader from the Yukon Territory, is going to be here to present his proposal to the state of Alaska to keep the Klondike Highway open year-round. This is the highway from Skagway to Whitehorse. He's kindly consented to come in at 7 o'clock in the morning to give us his presentation. This, other than the governor, will probably be the only presentation made unless the Senate picks it up. And I think we're should feel very flattered that he is willing to come to us with this. So I do hope that you're all here. I didn't get into record that Representative Herman joined us almost immediately after the convening of the session. Is there any further business come before the Transportation Committee on this beautiful sunshiny day? There being none, meeting is adjourned.
There was one that